Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
I feel lopsided. I feel like I need to.
That's because you're on the.
I need to preach. Right, I need to preach this way with everybody. I started to wear the one that says the Sermonator, but I couldn't find it. So, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Couple announcements just as we get started. Today we're going to do burritos after church. We're going to make them up for a few minutes and then take them on the streets. And just pray for our folks right now on the streets. They're alone, man. We're taking gifts to the streets of Nashville. And so just lift them up, if you would, as you're able to. If you want to stick around and make a few burritos, stick around. It's fun. I want to say one more thing, and welcome to everybody online. We know there's several, right? Yeah, a bunch of people online. So hello to you all, and Merry Christmas. And I want to let y'all know about a really cool thing that I found out last week. We've had a friend of ours on the streets, Hank. How long have we known Hank? Years, right? Yeah, years. At least five. Yeah, and Hank's one of those guys, like, he lives in a tent with his wife, but I don't know where he works out, but the dude is the strongest human being I've ever seen in my life, just built, you know what I mean? And he'll come and shake your hand, and his whole hand wraps around mine, and just such a cool guy. 3 years ago, he went on the waiting list for housing. 3 years ago. Found out Sunday that he got housing, and, like, we just jumped for joy and hugging and everything else, because 3 years of waiting with this voucher he couldn't use. And so found out, I said, what do you got? He goes, man, we got nothing. Like, they have nothing in their house at all. So we're working on a furniture from an organization that does that. But if you've got any towels, washcloths, what kind of things, like any kind of kitchen utensils that you don't ever use and you've been trying to get rid of, now's the time. Let me know, and I'll take them to Hank and his wife, and I think Julia, and they will be thrilled to death because they don't have anything like that. So anything you have just over the next few days, just bring them by, drop them off, and we'll make sure that they get set up in their house. I don't think we have any other announcements. Is there anything else? Cool. Let's rise with a call to worship. Okay. Merry Christmas to everybody. Yeah, seems reasonable. Yeah. Would you please rise for Psalm 52? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Break forth together into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations. All the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, just this group gathers here this morning in this place, and we gather online because we understand the meaning of today. Today means we're not alone in this world. Today means that we are not left to our own devices, our own ways, or our own wills. Today means your presence exists in this world, and we can follow you wherever you go. So we thank you, God, for today. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for that moment that we just see the world different because you've done something to us to show us how it's different. We thank you, God, for every moment that your will is seen in this world. We thank you for goodness. We thank you for righteousness. We thank you for those moments when there is love that just boils over in this world. We thank you, God, for that because it's all from you. And so we ask, God, that this Christmas become very real for all of us. Allow this season to change us, to lift us, and to show us that all year long we are living in the midst of your birth. Every time we find goodness in this world, we find your birth in this world. So we ask God to show us over and over, show us how to bring forth life into this place, and allow us, God, to know you in every moment that we can see. And we ask these things because we want nothing more than to see your birth in this world. And God's people said, amen. Amen. There's like 25 of us, so get ready to sing louder. Deal? Cool.
Come on,
Julie, you got it.
Come on, Julie.
Julie got it, man.
She got it.
Okay. 145.
Oh,
from Hebrews 1, 1 through the first part of 3. We'll get it in a second. Here, can you send us one slide more, if you would, sir? Thank you so much. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in the last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Through him, he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. One of the things I think is just amazing is people go, I wonder what God's like. Well, it's really easy. Read about Jesus. That's what God's like. The exact imprint. And to me, that's one of the most beautiful statements about who God is that it's not that mysterious, somewhat mysterious, but not that mysterious. We can find the Christ right here who reveals who God is. And it's the all-powerful. It's the all-knowing. It's this. And I want to say this. Did anybody else do this? I may be the only person that's ever done this. When Wes and Philip were both babies, sometimes I'd wake up and I couldn't stand it and I had to go just check on them, make sure they were okay. Right? Anybody else ever do this? I see nods. I just had to go just see if they were okay, right? Just check. And I do it, you know, every few nights. Wake up and I just go see if my boys are all right. The fact that the Son does that for us is amazing to me. Sent the prophets time and time and time again to let us know, to check on us, to make sure we understood. And then the Son comes to check on us and shows up time and time and time again in our lives, just checking on, just making sure, bringing you in, protecting you, right? As we go through our world, maybe coming forward, maybe the beautiful part about this faith sometimes is realizing exactly how much God cares for us. Has sent the prophets over and over, sent Christ, allowed for what happened on the cross so that resurrection could happen. These are the moments that God has cared about us time and time and time again. And this morning, we just get to adore it. We just get to love it, man. So let's sing again. We'll sit. You want to stand up? You can stand up if you want to. What do you want to do?
152.
Talked about gold, frankincense, and myrrh because I thought frankincense was some guy that had sense, and I just thought it was funny to say. And there's something about, though, the giving of gifts. And thank you, Julie, for bringing your gift this morning to Christ.
I'm going to sing an Appalachian carol for you because I'm an Appalachian girl.
That's right.
And growing up, we lived out in a wooded subdivision, and there was a lot of free land, rolling mountains that on the weekends I would stroll through them and wonder as I wandered. There's nothing like singing outside and knowing that God's listening. Mm. So I hope you like it.
Weren't there looking at those mountains, you look like you were there looking at those mountains. So, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not preaching a sermon that I wrote this morning. This is a sermon by Barbara Brown Taylor. It's in a book called Bread of Angels. Some of y'all heard this sermon before, but I can't write anything this good. I just can't do it. She's written a sermon that, to me, exemplifies the wonder and the amazement and the I can't come up with the words. Yeah, it's just a sermon that that retools this Christmas story in a way that makes me recognize just how spectacular what we're saying is. And so just know this is Barbara Brown Taylor. If you would like a book of hers, let me know. I'll get you one because I just think she's the best. Real quick story about her. We did this book, wasn't it, Suzanne? This book we did as a Sunday school class. It's like 4-page sermons, and we just take a, we come in with a question and a thought, right? And at the end of the book, we decided we would send Barbara Brown Taylor a note just to say thank you for this incredible book. So we sent it, and we waited 2 months, 3 months. I was like, well, at least we get a card back saying, recognize it. We said thank you. I kind of got a little, Barbara Brown Taylor, big time in this, We get a card back, had to be 3 or 4 months later. And it said in the card, I still got it somewhere, it said, thank you to the Jenkins Sunday School class. She said, I've been looking, I think it was your wife, Suzanne, that sent the note, and it wasn't, but she had gone, and what we realized is, she, between opening it, doing the research that was obvious she had done while to write this letter, and in the mail and everything, there's no way she spent less than 2 or 3 hours, is it? I thought, how incredibly kind of somebody just to sit there and just spend time to just to see who said thanks. So, very personable person, very thoughtful, and I think you're going to hear that in this sermon. So, first I'll read the scripture it comes from. It's from Luke 2, 8 and 9. It says, in that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for Barbara Brown Taylor and this sermon. We thank you, God, for those here that can hear what you delivered to her. We thank you, God, for those online that have joined us. We thank you, God, for those that aren't able to hear today that will watch later. And we thank you, God, for this community of faith. But most of all, we thank for your birth into our community of faith, showing us the way and the truth and the light, and any way that we can follow it, Lord, just have us have the understanding that your way is the only way. And God's people said, once upon a time, or before time actually, before there were clocks or calendars or Christmas trees, God was all there was. No one knows anything about that time, really, because no one was there to know it, but somewhere in the middle of time before time, God decided to make a world. Maybe God was bored, or maybe God was lonely, or maybe God just liked to make things and thought it was the time to try something big. Whatever the reason, God made a world and filled it with the most astonishing things. Humpback whales that sing, and white striped skunks that stink, and birds with more colors on them than a box of Crayola crayons. The list is way, way too long to go into here, but suffice it to say, at the end, God stood back and looked at it all, and God was pleased. Only something was missing. God couldn't think of what it was at first. But slowly it dawned on him. Everything he made was gorgeous and interesting, and it all fit together incredibly well. Only there was nothing in the world that looked exactly like him. It was as if he had painted this huge masterpiece and forgotten to sign it. So he got busy making his own signature piece. Something made in his own image so that anyone who looked at it would know exactly who the artist was. He had one single thing in mind at first, but as he worked, God realized that one thing all by itself was not the kind of statement that he wanted to make. He knew what it was like to be alone, and now that he had made a world, he knew what it was like to have company, and company was so much better. So, God decided to make two things instead of one, much alike but different, and both would be reflections of him, a man and a woman, who could keep him and each other company. Flesh was what he made them out of. Flesh and blood. It's a wonderful medium. Extremely flexible. Warm to the touch. Since God, strictly speaking, was not made out of anything at all, but was pure mind and pure spirit, he was very taken with flesh and blood. Watching his two creatures stretch and yawn and laugh, run, God found to his surprise that he was more than a little envious of them. He had made them. It's true. and he knew how fragile they were. But their very breakability made them more touching to him somehow. It wasn't long before God found himself falling in love with them. He liked being with them better than any of the other creatures he had made, and he especially liked walking with them in the garden in the cool of the evening. It almost broke God's heart when they got together behind his back and did the one thing he asked them not to do, and then hid from him. From him! While he searched the garden until way past dark, calling their names over and over again. Things were different after that. God still loved the human creatures best of all, but the attraction wasn't mutual. Birds were crazy about God, especially ruby-throated hummingbirds. Dolphins and raccoons could not get enough of him, but human beings had other things on their minds. They were busy learning how to make things, and grow things, and buy things, and sell things, and the more they learned to do for themselves, the less they depended on God. Night after night, God threw pebbles at their windows, inviting them to go out for a walk with him. But they said they were sorry. They were too busy. It was not long before most human beings forgot all about him. They called themselves self-made men and women, as if that were a plus and not a minus. They honestly believed they had created themselves, and they liked the results so much that they divided into groups of people who looked and thought and talked alike. Those who still believed in God drew pictures of him that looked exactly like them, and that made it easier for them to turn away from people who were different. You would not believe the trouble that this got them into. Everything into armed warfare, to cities splitting right down the middle with one kind of people living on this side of the line and another kind of people living on the other. God would put a stop to it all right there, except for one thing. When God had made human beings, he made them free. That was built into them just like their hearts and their brains were. And even God couldn't take that back without killing them. So God let them be free. It almost killed him to see what they were doing to each other. God shouted to them from the sidelines, using every means he could think of, including floods and famines and messengers and manna. He got inside people's dreams, and if that did not work, he woke them up in the middle of the night with his whispering. No matter what he tried, however, he came against those barriers of flesh and blood. They were made of it. God wasn't. And that made translation difficult. God would say, "Please stop before you destroy yourselves." But all they could hear was thunder. God would say, "I love you as much as the day I made you." But all they could hear was a loon calling across the waters. Babies were the exception to this sad state of affairs. While their parents were all but deaf to God's messages, babies didn't have any trouble hearing God at all. They were all the time laughing at God's jokes or crying with God or crying with him when he cried, which went right over the parents' heads. They said, "Colic." That's what the grown-ups would say. "Colic. Isn't she cute? She's laughing at the dust mites in the lights." Only she wasn't, of course. She was laughing because God had just told her it was cleaning day in heaven and that what she saw were fallen stars. The angels were just shaking from their dust feathers. Babies didn't go to war. Babies never made hate speeches. They never littered or refused to play with each other because they belonged to different political parties. They depended on each other for everything necessary to their lives, and a phrase like "self-made babies" would have made them laugh until their bellies hurt. While no one asked babies' opinions about anything that mattered, which was too bad because it would have been the smart thing to do, almost everyone seemed to love them. And that gave God an idea. Why not create himself as one of these delightful creatures? He tried the idea. out on his cabinet of archangels. At first, they were all very quiet. And finally, the senior archangel stepped forward to speak for all of them. He told God how much they would worry about him if he did that. He would be putting himself at this mercy of these creatures, the archangel said. People could do anything they wanted to him. And if he seriously meant to become one of them, there would be no escape if things became sour. Couldn't he at least create himself as a magical baby with special powers? It wouldn't take much, just the power to become invisible maybe, or just the power to hurl bolts of lightning if the need arose. The baby idea is a stroke of genius, the archangel said. It really is. It just lacks adequate safety features. God thanked the archangels for their concern, but said no. He thought he'd just be a regular baby. How else would he gain the trust of these creatures? How else could he persuade them that he knew their lives inside and out, unless he lived one like theirs? There was a risk. He knew that. Okay, there was a high risk. But that was part of what he wanted his creatures to know, that he was willing to risk everything to get close to them in hopes that they would love him again. It was a daring plan. And once the archangels saw that God was dead set on it, they broke into applause. The kind of applause that goes on and on when you have witnessed something you will never see again. While they were clapping, God turned around and left the cabinet chamber, shedding his robes as he went. The angels watched as his midnight mantle fell to the floor so that all the stars on it collapsed in a heap. And a strange thing happened. Where the robes had fallen, the floor melted. And it opened to reveal a scrubby brown pasture, speckled with sheep. And in the middle of them, a bunch of shepherds, sitting around a campfire, drinking wine out of a skin. It was hard to say who was more startled, the shepherd or the angels. But as the shepherds looked down at them, the angels pushed their senior archangel to the edge of the hole, and looking down at the human beings who were all trying to hide behind each other, poor things, they don't have wings, the angel said in as gentle of a voice as he could muster, "Do not be afraid, for today I bring you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah. He is the Lord." And away up the hill from the direction of town came the sound of a newborn baby's cry. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Yes, one more song.
Rejoice with this next song.
Before him bow, and he is in.
I've asked for your prayers for Hank and his wife and all those that remain on the streets this Christmas. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for this morning? Are there others that we need to be in prayer for this morning? Suzanne, yeah. Tons of people traveling right now, yeah, in cold weather. So lift up all those who travel. We'll be traveling today. Ask for these prayers. For the McKenzie CP Church, no service today. Their pipes burst and flooded most of the church. Prayers as cleanups and repairs begin. That is just the worst. Also for Kenny and Margaret Sidwell, these are friends of Mom's and Ken's high school friends. Kenny's very ill and under hospice care. So Kenny and Margaret Sidwell. Are there others this morning? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Our little sister Tegan was in the hospital yesterday getting checked out, having some eye issues that they're working through. And so, yeah, please be in prayer for Tegan. And the whole, they've had a run of it the last couple of months, man. Just a tough run of it. So lift up Kayla and the whole family. Are there others this morning?
Jason.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, my husband, Steve, he goes every 4 months for a CAT scan. And a couple of the tumors in his lungs have changed a little bit. And he's been real stable for a year. His attitude's good. Once he got over the shock, because he thought, okay, he can be this. But he's back in fight mode. But just keep both of us.
Absolutely. Keep Steve and you as well. Absolutely. Are there others this morning? Suzanne?
Johnny and Marie.
Praying for Johnny and Marie too. Johnny looks like we'll go in for a little bit of surgery in the new year sometime. So we need to keep him in our prayers. Or others this morning. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God, no different than the shepherds, we just gather to your birth. Wherever you are found in this world, Lord, we know that if the heavens were peeled back and we would see the glory, we would fall to the manger wherever you are. And so, God, we ask that exactly that happens, that you be revealed in this world enough that we can't help but fall down and worship. And we do fall down and worship, Lord, because we know we can come to you with those challenges and those wonderful moments and all of these things that we live in. We can come to you through prayer because we know, Lord, that we can't control everything. We can contribute. We can help. We can all be a part, but we can't control anything. And so we just turn things over to you and ask you, God, to show us a path in a very uncertain world. And we ask you in the midst of that for the miraculous things of healing and of love and of care and support. And so because of this, Lord, we ask blessings for Hank and his wife, for all those on the streets, for all those traveling, for Tegan, Lord, and the whole family, for Steve and for Julie, for Johnny and Marie, for the McKenzie Church, who are going to have to figure out how they continue the little bit of time here, learning how to worship and be a community together when the building is in damage. And we ask you these things, Lord, because we know we need you. We know that because we have needed you. You've shown up and we've recognized how beautiful that thing is, that moment is. And so we thank you, God, for that. And we lean on it again, knowing that you will show up time and time and time again for us in this creation, saving us and rescuing us in every opportunity. And we pray all of this then through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please rise for the benediction? Go in love, go in joy, go in hope, go in grace, and go in peace. And go knowing the Messiah has been born. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you. And all of God's people said,
amen.
I thought you were just going to Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to y'all. God bless.
you. Bless Mary.
Get your me. Today?
Thank you.